Welcome to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence. And we are live in Houston, Texas, the most beautiful city in the world. It's dark here tonight. The sun just went down and looking over the Texas Medical Center. I always like to let you know where I'm at, that this isn't a fake background. It's actually the Texas Medical Center over there, MD Anderson Hospital, Texas Children's Hospital, Baylor College of Medicine, the Methodist Hospital, Memorial Hermann. There's about 10 hospitals within a block of where I live right here. It's just called the Texas Medical Center. It is the absolute largest employment center in the entire state of Texas. We have more employees right here. Matter of fact, the population right here is larger than downtown Dallas. And I just love being part of Houston and Baylor College of Medicine and Texas Children's Hospital. It's just a blessing to be part of such a great organization. And tonight, We want you to be able to write down a few things. And first of all, I want you to write down 888-627-6008, because I have a feeling that you're going to want to maybe call in. You may have a comment. You may have a question about what we're going to talk about tonight. And it's going to be really, really a good subject that I think that you may have that you're dealing with in your own life, maybe you personally. Maybe somebody that you know in your family or a friend that you're going to run into next week. So make sure you kind of watch what we're going to talk about tonight. Write down the guests' names, their contacts, of how to get a hold of them afterwards. And the next 2 weeks, we're going to have really, we had James Brown on from Illinois a few weeks ago, and James talked about his battle, his journey with alcoholism, with his use of some medication and mixing that with alcoholism. And he went to this one center called Recover Us that just literally gave him treatment that for now, I think he told me just a while ago that he's 4 months clean and just loved this center. And I immediately, when I heard about how effective it was in his life, we decided to invite them, a few from Recover Us, on the program tonight, and that's going to be our guest tonight. Now, next week, kind of piggybacking off this program, James Brown and his wife, Lisa Brown, is going to be on the program next week to look at addiction, this journey together, but from the wife's point of view and what happens in the home with the kids and the wife and or the husband, whichever way it is. And how to give them help and offer help. So it's going to be a good tonight, and next week's going to be really special. And then the following week, the first week of November, we have Alice Cooper and some of his staff from the Alice Cooper Youth Camps in Phoenix, Arizona. He has a youth center there and does some great work, and we're going to have him on and a therapist or two from his group. And then Dr. Bruce Perry is going to be here, I think, the following week. And if you don't know Dr. Bruce Perry, that's probably going to be one of the biggest shows that we've ever had, because Dr. Bruce Perry is a New York Times bestseller. And he wrote The Child Raised by a Dog. And it's literally been in the top books being sold year after year after year, and he's going to be on. It's going to be a great, great guest. We have some wonderful guests for the rest of the year, so make sure you just tune in. We really believe that if you give us a few minutes of your time on a Sunday night, I looked at the TV guide. There's not that much on tonight. Why not watch something that's going to help you, make you a better person, and be able to give you one inch closer to some hope in your life and be able to help somebody else out? So that's what we're asking for you to do tonight. Before we have our guest on, every now and then I like to just throw out a few things that I think that you can use this coming week. So before we get to Kelly and Seth, I'm just going to take a couple minutes. I want to kind of get rid of some baggage tonight. If you really want to be able to move forward in your life, I want to tell you and maybe suggest some things that you should get rid of before you can make progress forward. And one of those things is letting other people's opinions control your life. Let me tell you need to get rid of that tonight. You need to get rid of that right now. Nobody else's opinion matters. Do what you think you need to do for you. And sometimes if we're going to spend the rest of our life trying to make somebody else happy for the rest of our life, we're going to always be chasing after something that we're never going to be able to obtain. So don't let other people's opinions control your life. Another thing to get rid of, the shame of past failures. Hey, been there, done that. And I have taken that shame with me, but tonight's the time to leave the baggage behind. Cut the strings from that shame of past failures. Start today with something fresh and new. Don't continue to bring up the past. You can't relive that. Start from today and move forward. Another thing that I think kind of goes hand in hand with what we're talking about tonight, being decisive, being indecisive on what you want. I think tonight is the night that you need to make a decision. Just huddle up with me. Just lean in here if you're listening. If you don't make a decision tonight about doing something that you know you should do in your life, when are you going to do it? When do you have it on your calendar? If it's not tonight, why not start right now and make that decision that you need to make? Procrastination on the goals that matter to you will always be a negative side of that ledger book. So get rid of that procrastination and make an action. And I think another thing we need to get out of our system is choosing to do nothing. I always told my kids when they were going through grade school in Southern Illinois, I always told them, hey, when you go into a class, always shoot for an A. And if you end up getting a B or C, at least you shot for an A. And not having any kind of goals, not having any kind of action plan, and coming in at a C or D isn't acceptable. Always shoot for what you think you want to obtain and at least have a goal. And that's going to help you in life. And then running away from problems that you know should be fixed. Get rid of that. Now's the time to honestly go into the bathroom and look into the mirror and really authentically, genuinely, sincerely look in the mirror and say, this is who I am. This is what I'm dealing with. This is the problems that I have in front of me. And then come up with an action plan to be able to help and get help to overcome those problems. And making excuses rather than decisions is the other thing that I really want to encourage you to get rid of. Just a few things tonight to leave the program tonight, maybe hopefully a little lighter. Okay, that's enough of my stuff. I'll throw my soapbox to the side and we'll get to our guests because they're the ones that have all the knowledge. We have from Recover Us in Carbondale, Illinois, my alma mater, SIU Carbondale, go Salukis. We have Seth Duran.
That's DeWarin.
I would have never pulled that one out.
That's an awful French name.
Seth DeWarin, and Seth is the nursing supervisor of Recover Centers, and Kelly Reed, she is the developer the partner, the clinic administrator. I got a feeling that Kelly is the boss. But Kelly Reed and Seth is with us tonight. And welcome to the program from Carbondale, Illinois. How you doing?
Doing so good.
Great. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, it's an honor to have you. And I have all these bios here that I can read about you. But before we get to the boss, Seth, tell me what you do. What is your role at Recover Us? What do you do?
I just run point on everything medical. I avail myself to educate potential clients to make sure that they are knowledgeable about why our program works for them. I run point while they're here in the clinic, doing their medical care, coordinating with the medical director, any providers that we have here, and just running all that under the tutelage of Kelly and my ownership.
Okay, fantastic. And then Kelly, what was the dream that you had? Because to my understanding, you started this.
Yeah.
How did that come about? What was you after? And have you reached that dream in what Recover Us is doing right now for the community?
I think that my dream grows continually, and it's fueled by each time we have someone here and we're able to see how that reflects with their family, with their loved ones, and what it does for them in their lives. So I think that's ever growing and evolving as we're here.
Okay. Now, if people didn't see and didn't watch James's interview the other day, they don't even know what Recover Us is. So either one of you can play back and forth with each other and each describe, but what is this center and what's its purpose and how do you treat and who do you treat?
We treat people throughout the United States. So it's not just a regional clinic. We have people, we just had some people left from California. So we treat people from all throughout the United States with drug and alcohol addiction. And that is primarily what we do here at the clinic.
Okay, now, Seth, is this drug and alcohol addiction, is this street drugs? Or is
yes.
Medicinal drugs that maybe they got involved with pain medication and they couldn't get off? Or is it any kind of addiction to any kind of substance?
It's the latter. Yeah. Any type of addiction falls under these formulas that we have, even compulsory addictions, things that are non-medical, like gambling, pornography, things of that nature.
Oh, okay. That's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're talking about any addiction whatsoever. So list, if you would, because I got a feeling there may be people watching tonight that don't know they're addicted. So what kind of addictions are on this checklist that you all treat?
Well, through any type of drug, like I said, so cocaine, methamphetamine, Klonopin, so any type of benzodiazepine, Xanax, any type of opioid or opiate, alcohol, like I said, gambling, pornography, anything that falls under anything that's compulsory, pretty much it covers everything. There's a specific formula that has amino acids and a particular amount of NAD that focuses on that receptor, especially with serotonin and dopamine.
Wow. Now you're using language that, no, because I want to dig deeper into that because it's like, oh, no, wait. So have you seen what the opioid problem has become in the last 5 years? Or is it just in the bigger cities, or is it hitting places just in the rural parts of the country too?
I think it would be hard pressed. Anyone would be hard pressed to meet someone that doesn't have or know someone that has been affected by addiction. So cities, rural areas, it seems that it's everywhere. I don't think geographically it's limited to any location.
So, okay, we have all these lists of alcohol and the drugs and then the gambling and pornography, because I know those two can be just as addictive and just as destructive to a person and relationships. How does a person know that they have an addiction? How do you realize it?
I think most people, deep down inside them, they know when they have an addiction. They know when it either is something that is done through withdrawals, if it is pain pills, any type of opioids, alcohol, they themselves know. Whether they have voiced that concern, that can be a different story. But I do believe that they know themselves when they have an addiction, when they're doing something that is controlling their life and it's taking over their thoughts and affecting their family and their loved ones and their job, they know when they have a problem.
Now, you mentioned, Seth, I believe you had a person from California that graduated from the program this evening.
Yes, sir.
Now, were they actually in Illinois when that happened, or was it via Zoom and Skype?
No, they were here. They came from California, and tonight was their last night to cover 14 days of treatment, and he just left. So,
okay. So you have a residential treatment plan there, or do they stay at a local hotel and get treatment during the day, or how does that work in the treatment?
So we have an outpatient facility, and I think that's one of the other things that sets us apart from other treatment facilities. So someone comes in the morning and they generally spend 6 to 8 hours with us throughout the day receiving their treatment while they're here. And then they're free to go home in the evening if they're local. If they're coming in from out of town, we have a hotel that's right next door. They go next door. They can have their family with them. They can either bring a family member too, which is so important. If they have a strong support system, we invite that at our facility. And that serves so many purposes, both for the families and the individuals that are struggling. That to me is one of the very important things that sets us apart from other facilities.
Kelly, when you developed or when you decided to open this clinic, was there, and we have not talked about this, so if you say, Greg, we're not going there, feel free. Is there a personal story behind this, or was it just a journey that you was going on professionally?
And then there is definitely a personal story. And I think Seth and I have found in traveling and educating doctors or healthcare facilities or employers, whenever we're telling the story, you can generally spot the person in the room that has a personal experience with addiction. They receive the information differently. They're more emotionally invested than most, and they will always come up to us and talk to us about that experience. So that's been extremely refreshing. But back to your question, I come from a very, very close family, a younger brother and a younger sister. And we all go to dinner together, go to movies together, and share in everything with one another. And we noticed some differences in behavior with my younger brother. And we watched those evolve, but we weren't educated in addiction, and we didn't know what signs to look for. And we were probably very naive in that area, like most families are who haven't experienced it.
Yeah.
So we saw behaviors changing in him. And one day he comes to us, and I'll never forget the look in his eye. And whenever he said to us, I have a problem and I need help. I'm addicted to pain medication. And then, you know, you can retrace things in your mind and those pieces start to fit together with behaviors versus what he's telling us. And it was a time I'll never forget. It stands out in my mind as a time that really changed for us as a family.
So does that build in you a resiliency of purpose?
Oh,
of, I want to be that light for the darkness that I possibly didn't receive, or did you have a good experience in the treatment that he had that you said, hey, wait, I want to duplicate this, so I want to provide that kind of hope for other people?
Well, in the beginning, we set out to be on task for everyone in our family, started doing their part in helping him research various types of treatment. And that was a daunting task to call facilities all throughout the United States. Many times you don't get in touch with someone, addiction, or the information stopped at 5 p.m. And we all know now that addiction doesn't have hours. It's through the weekend and after hours. So, and, you know, being a family that we're still working, it was difficult to find time to call and get the answers for treatment options that we needed for him. So eventually he found a treatment facility, but on our own, we did so much research into various types of treatments that could be given to him and that he could have to build a foundation for long-term sobriety. And those were found hit or miss in various places, but not everything all in one location.
Right.
So after that, we said, let's take our experience and what the knowledge that we gained through this terrible time in our lives and share his positive outcomes that he had with treatment and with others. And we knew what we wanted to be in a facility for families and for those people that are struggling.
Wow. Awesome. Awesome. Tell you what, we're going to take our first commercial break. And Seth, I'm going to kind of give you, I'll grease the wheel a little bit. I'm fixing to turn the spotlight to you. Is there a reason that you're doing what you're doing with the population of people that you were doing it with, just to see if there's something there too that maybe has given you a point of contact and remember. So I'm going to come back and ask you that. On the other side of this break, if you want to call in, 888-627-6008. Don't leave us. Call somebody. Let them know to tune in to bbsradio.com and Breaking the Silence. We'll be right back right after this first commercial break.
This couldn't be coming at a better time. Have you ever felt like you were just trapped and couldn't find your way out of darkness? Have you ever felt like you were drowning and fighting to find your next breath? Well, coming in 2020 will be the second of a three-part trilogy, my new book, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. This new book will provide you a step-by-step approach of how to reach that destination, that important destination called hope. Now, two additional resources are going to be made available when this book is released. One, The Map to Hope. It'll be a handy guide that you can carry around with you, put in your briefcase or put in your purse. And this guide is going to help you find your way when you're stuck in life looking and searching for hope. And then the other resource, the Overcoming the Darkness Companion Journal. I have always believed that journaling is the first step to finding real healing and hope in your life, and this journal will guide you down that path. I'm excited about these resources and this new book that's going to be released in 2020, the Summer of Hope. Now back to the next segment of Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams right here on BBS Radio.
Hey, well, we paid the orchestra a lot of money to play that song. I just want you to know that. I tell you what, my texts are going off the board tonight with just people saying, hey, I'm listening. This is a great show. So we're hitting the nerve. And I love it when people comment, good or bad, but this is all good so far that I can see. But I love that when they do, because we know that we're hitting on a subject that maybe the world doesn't talk about much, even though it seems like there's a lot of information about that. But we have Seth and Kelly from Recover Us in Carbondale, Illinois. And I lived in Carbondale, Illinois for years. I love the strip. I don't know if they even have the infamous strip at Halloween still. We used to leave town during Halloween because you didn't want to be around Carbondale during that week. But I just love Carbondale, a great, great community, and love Southern Illinois. But Seth, tell me, what got you involved in this type of work?
Pretty much, addiction therapy has been something that's been really dear to me. I grew up in Chester, which is about 45 minutes from Carbondale. It's got one of the biggest penitentiaries there in Chester. And whenever I was a younger boy, there was somebody, a gang affiliated, that got put in there. A large gang moved to Chester at that time. And I just firsthand experienced and watched drugs infusing a town that weren't there as prevalent as before. And to this day, I have dozens of classmates from my school alone. I think I only had 100 people in my graduating class. But there's dozens of people from our school that have died from heroin, drug overdoses. My little brother's best friend passed away from a heroin overdose. So it's something that's just very, very dear to know that, like, you know, just like anybody else, addiction can touch anybody. It's not an impoverished individual that it targets. It targets from the top of the food chain to the bottom. And to know that, you know, I escaped that town and left and I'm where I'm at today. And to know that it could have not ended up that way. And that gives me passion to try to be there for people to help them. And whenever I met Kelly and my ownership here, and I saw just how well this all worked, I was like, there's no way I can't do this. I'm going all in. And I haven't looked back since. So.
Well, that's great. I'll tell you what, if you had to pick out, we do have James Brown on the line. So we're going to bring James in here. James, do you want to jump in? Are you where we can see or just hear you tonight? James? He may be eating popsicles. I don't know. My son told me that James is on the line, but are you there, James? Okay. Well, I think he's under the Samsung from the. Okay, he's connecting now. While he's connecting in, what's some of the signs, if you had to do a checklist of things to notice, Kelly and Seth, of typical addictive signs that you do have an issue, because I know you probably do conferences and webinars and workshops on this, to how to figure out how do you recognize some of a sign or two that would indicate to us that we have a problem.
I think a lot of individuals, and if you ask someone that suffers, they can really recognize this themselves too. I think they withdraw. They withdraw from a family. They withdraw from doing the social things that they used to do. So secluding themselves is, I think, one of the telltale signs. Behavior changes. Anxiety, depression, that goes hand in hand with addiction. And many people don't recognize that those symptoms are increased with addiction and what addiction does to the brain and the brain receptors. So that's key. And that's very important to understand. Erratic behavior.
Unaccounted money and time.
Yeah, that's true. That's a big one.
So would this be one of those things that if we have, and you know, a lot of men have their man cave in the garage, and they go out into the garage and spend the entire evening alone, and then they come back kind of different than what they were when they went in. Is that kind of isolation what you're talking about, or is it more of an emotional isolation of not only a physical but an emotional too?
I think it varies for everything is different, but I think emotional is both emotional and physical isolation seem to be extremely prevalent in anyone that's suffering with addiction.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, somebody has a very close family and a family member wants to keep to themselves, stay in their room, not attend family events. There's a sense of shame. And a lot of families like myself, I didn't understand that whenever you're talking to someone and trying to have someone get help, that you don't shame them into doing that. They're shamed in themselves already. And so right. they're not proud of their behavior either.
You know, I tell you, and if James will connect on the audio, we'll bring James in, because I think they're trying to hear him. So James, if you can connect the audio part or the video, either one, and we'll talk. But I think what I called Recover Us the other day, whoever you have on the switchboard, on the telephone, was good. I can say is immediately, it's like, wow, I just met a friend. And I think that first impression is precious, do you not?
Oh, we call her the glue. So she holds us all together for sure. And that's a goal of our facility. When someone comes in, there's no judgment here. We're here to help. It's not a place that you go for punishment. It's a place where you go to get yourself back again. And so the atmosphere is not depressing. It's a wonderfully warm atmosphere. And that's extremely important for people, for all people.
So take me from, because I remember James's story so vividly, when I think it was his second time of attempting to commit suicide, and he ended up laying down on the garage floor next to the lawnmower. And then, because I remember he was getting ready to go to commercial break, and he said, then I made the most important phone call in my life. Take me, Seth, from that moment of that call, if the person calls in to their to Recover Us tonight, what steps are taken from there? Because that may be half the fear of the unknown. What do you do with them and for them? And I see James, so I'll wave at James. But what do you do actually for them from that point of that first call?
I would say from the very beginning, that Kelly always just makes sure that they're safe first and foremost. And I think that that's one of the things that struck James so quickly, is he knew he was not in a safe situation, and he heard Kelly's voice. And I remember he told me he was like an angel. he was just so down in a pit of despair, you know, and he reached out and to have somebody connect with him and be like, I understand where you're at right now. Let's talk about it. And to be like, oh my goodness, I'm talking to somebody. They understand where I'm at and they're willing to speak right now. I think that's huge. To all hours of the night, you can call and you will get Kelly immediately on the phone. And, so that's huge to speak directly with somebody who has, you know, their feet on the ground here in the clinic every single day. This is their life, and they're willing to speak to you.
Okay, I'm in Houston, and I call. What's the first thing that you want to do from me and find out from me? I'm telling you, hey, Seth Kelly, I'm safe. I just know I'm out of control emotionally or with this addiction, whatever it is. What's the next step for me or that person that needs help with their addiction? What's the first thing you do?
Many of them will share their stories if they have gone to other places and maybe not been successful with their recovery, or it could be the very first time that they're reaching out, acknowledging that they need help and they don't know what to do next. So they're looking for answers, and they're looking for the ways that we can help them, the ways that we can help. One of the main things I think I hear over and over, I hear this every day, is how can you help me? What I'm afraid to go through the withdrawals. I feel like if I could comfortably, or if I could go through those, I could get to the other side along with counseling and other care that we offer here. But how can you help me? The withdrawals scare me to death. And I'm so desperately ill when that happens.
So with the withdrawals, my understanding that James, as a patient of y'all's, had intravenous medication that he was put. Tell me, I knew nothing about this. What is that you guys have that literally has an unbelievable success rate, correct?
Yes, sir.
What is this technique that you use?
It's the drug is NAD. It stands for nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide.
Wow.
It's just, it's a coenzyme. And it essentially back in the 80s, it was accidentally found as they were exploring for anxiety and depression. They realized that it started to suppress withdrawal symptoms in alcoholics. And so they started to just really dig into it deeper. And, you know, decades later, we have a safe FDA approved drug that's been proven to suppress withdrawal symptoms, restore and regenerate brain receptors that accept those opiates or alcohol, and that have been damaged over the years of substance abuse, and to physically regenerate that tissue on your brain, and to help reduce your cravings going towards the future. And that's one of the biggest alluring aspects of it, is that craving reduction going forward, and so to help prevent relapse.
So is this something, Kelly, that you knew of another place that was using it, or is this new cutting edge technique treatment?
It's been around for...
since the early 80s.
Early 80s.
Oh, that shows you what I know.
Right. And so a lot of places, or there, I'm not going to say a lot, there are other places that do this. I think the difference is some of those places are associated, the docs are associated with universities, and studies through universities. And so their goals are not necessarily... like my, I want everyone to know about this. I want everyone to know that they can go through withdrawal. They can get their lives back. They can feel whole again and do so in a safe and comfortable medical environment. I don't think a lot of people understand that drugs, be it opioids, benzodiazepines, alcohol, affect the brain receptors. So they may say, well, I've quit. I'm no longer, I'm clean. I've been clean for a week. That the opioids still affect the brain and the brain receptors. And so even though you may be clean, there's still other steps to help yourself combat withdrawal and addiction throughout your life. And that's very, very important.
Do you find, because I mean, my experience is with childhood abuse that happened to me, and the ACEs, the adverse childhood experiences, it does get up and literally dissects and cuts off neurons and different things in the brain, and your brain growth and function is completely different than what it should be. Do you find that if they've had earlier trauma in their life, that it's a different way of treating their actual abuse or their actual addiction of what they were dealing with at that time?
We have a particular client that we've, and obviously for privacy, we won't share the client's name, but Seth can tell her story. It was an amazing journey that she had here.
I wouldn't necessarily say that their trauma changes the way that we would treat them. I just think that we treat them as a whole individual, and it kind of all comes to the forefront. And the person she's referring to, so we had a young 20-year-old girl who came to us. She was not addicted to any substances. In fact, I don't think she'd even ever taken any type of drug, but she was coming to us for extreme anxiety and depression. And as her story began to unfold, as she was an 8 to 13-year-old girl, she had been sexually abused by a family member. I mean, dozens and dozens and dozens of times. And from that, she became a very reclused, withdrawn individual. She lost interest in school. She withdrew from sports, and she had a fantastic sports career on the horizon. And that anxiety and depression became crippling to the point that as a 20-year-old girl, she still lived with her mom. She refused to get a job. She didn't want to be out in public. And it was something that, you know, it haunted her every day. And her mom became desperate to find a solution. So they began to start their journey, but she ended up ultimately with us here. And we treated her for anxiety and depression, and to regulate and restore her dopamine and serotonin levels, and to start that brain restoration process with the NAD. And then we also coupled it with neurofeedback, which was something that we do to restore the brainwave and your brainwave patterns to how they're supposed to be with your delta, alpha, theta, and your beta waves. She had an incredibly high alpha wave. It was 50 hertz, which is astronomical. You're supposed to be.
Okay, what's that show you?
it shows that there was a tremendous emotional trauma that happened in her youth, and it
yes.
and it led to her alpha wave being just broken essentially. And through neurofeedback, you can go in and train the brain with auditory cues to put that alpha wave where it's supposed to be. As that began to happen, it only took her about 5 weeks, I think, of neurofeedback, and she did 5 days of NAD. And she had already went out and got a job, tried to go find a new place to live. And I had never seen somebody make such a dramatic flip from a very quiet, withdrawn person to a
total social anxiety into a girl whose personality was restored. And her mother said, this is what she was like when she was a younger girl. And, you know, her mom was able to see that, and she was able to see it. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. And it's a gift to get to see individuals who struggle with addiction, who have those issues, come into their own and begin to heal. And I'm sure you know much more than I about the addiction, how it affects a brain receptor. And people, I don't think initial treatment focuses on what addiction and or trauma does specifically to the brain and the brain patterns.
So I love the fact that you're looking at the whole person.
Definitely.
Because you can't just go in and fix one piece, because everything is related to that.
Definitely.
We're going to dig a little deeper on the other side of this break. James.
Howdy.
Hey,
James. It's good to see you, my friend. And it's wonderful that you put the suit on for us tonight. Thank you.
I know, I did. I'm wearing my Tampa Bay Buccaneers hat. They really
go Bucks.
They beat the undefeated Packers today. So hey.
Oh, well, that's good. Anytime you beat Green Bay, we're in good shape.
Yeah, 38-10. It was a beating.
Yes, sir.
Okay, fantastic. Tell you what, we're going to take a commercial break. Remember, the mics are hot. And we're going to take our last commercial break. And on the other side of this, we're going to bring James in to see how much of an impact Seth and Kelly that you made on his life. So I want him to share from his heart just for a second. On the other side of this break, don't leave us. The last segment's going to be awesome. Right back on the other side of this commercial.
HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers A Child Called It and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Shattered by the Darkness. I hit the top 100 again this week on Amazon. I don't know why, but the book is still selling pretty good. And the Overcoming the Darkness, the Roadmap to Hope is. And James, I've quoted you in the second chapter.
Wow.
So yeah, you're going to be in the book. I quoted you in the second chapter because it's on authenticity and being genuine. And that chapter is called this. Are you ready? The second chapter is called I'm Fine and Neither Are You. Because I tell you what, that authenticity makes all the difference in the world. And I remember we really got serious on that. And you're going to be with us next week, you and your lovely wife. But James, tell me what Kelly and Seth has meant to you in your life.
You know, it's kind of hard to really give kudos to Kelly and Seth, They've become really good friends, which I hate to say, they saved my life. Wow. That's kind of the best way I can say it. You know, like I told you earlier, we talked on the phone, Greg, that, you know, 4.5 months ago, if I would have thought I would be where I'm at now, I never would have thought it would have been possible. And that's why, you know, God brings people into our lives, and he definitely brought Kelly and Seth into my life at a time where it was so providential and so needed. I can't tell them how much they mean to me with words. I can't do it. So,
well, I'll tell you what, I've been watching every one of your little videos that you have had with Seth on the Recover Us site. I recommend everybody blow those videos absolutely out of the water with watching them and sharing them, and let people know to get on that site, because those, Seth, you did an excellent job just interviewing James and getting about what the program's all about and how that works. And there was like 10 of them, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and I really, really, I didn't watch them just because they were James, but yeah, really, I did. I just wanted to hear what he had to say, but it was a great job doing that. How does that make you feel, if you have a guy that is sitting there in the Carterville area saying, I'm alive because of you guys?
I think it really just justifies and encourages us to just go harder, because there's more Jameses out there, and we've got to find them and help them and avail ourselves to them. That's why we're doing what we do.
Yeah.
The fact that he's willing to speak up and share his story to help others. I'll never forget one thing he said to me in the very beginning. No. He said, I'm not a people person. And by the time he left, I said, you were the most people person probably of anyone I've ever met. And to watch he and his family go through the experience and do so with such courage. Anyone that's addicted shows such immense courage and determination. It's to be admired for them and what they have to do.
So do you think when we get to a point that you say, I need help, that's not the weakest point in your life? That could be the strongest.
It's definitely
James, what do you think? James?
What was that again?
When you're at the point in your life where you say, I need help, isn't the weakest point of a person's life, it could be the strongest.
Yeah, it's both. I mean, it was the weakest time of my life, but at the same time, it was the strongest point of my life. Like I said, you know, carrying the facade of trying to meet up with the standards of what my peers and what my friends thought I should be, which I wasn't, to be able to open up and say, hey, look, I'm an addict. You know, I can't function without, you know, drinking, you know, vodka every night and popping pills. And to admit that, it seems like, you know, you're being weak, but yet at the same time, it was the strongest point of my life ever to say, hey, I need help. And I think the strongest people that I know are the people who say, I need help.
I agree.
Good point. And I think there's a great scripture on that. And at my weakest point, he is the strongest. Because at that point, it's like, God, I can't do this on my own. And he said, finally, you admit to that. Now let me get in you and help you make some choices.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any spiritual portion of the program that you offer, Kelly or Seth, or is this all technical and medical and research scientific?
No, I think one of the biggest things is that every person is so different and every individual is so complex, and to withhold spiritual healing from somebody who desires it and needs it would be doing them a disservice. If anybody's ever willing to pray or desires that for me, I'm there in a heartbeat. But obviously you have to use professionalism, and I would never put that on somebody.
Right.
Whenever you're a nurse, you learn to, you know, feel that rapport and what you should and shouldn't say. But I do believe spiritual healing is an immense thing for people. And I know James went through a lot of it himself. So.
And they can also request a faith-based counselor while they're here too. So the behavioral health part is part of the package. We've tried to think of everything we could to give someone the information and the tools to get to where they need to be. So if part of that for them is faith-based counseling, we have that covered.
I think the first time it actually came up, the first time it came up where we got a faith-based counselor, he actually gave his heart to the Lord here in the clinic with his counselor there in one of his sessions. It was pretty cool.
Do you do a holistic approach too?
I mean,
do you do anything that, like, if you want to include the natural elements and natural aromas and
like
smells?
Aromatherapy, things of that nature.
Definitely.
So all of that is included. Okay, now we only have 5 minutes. So I knew this time would go too fast. I talked too much at the beginning. I got to
stop. Not at all. But, I loved it.
What happens if somebody has... They don't have addiction per se, but they have severe trauma. For instance, me 5 years ago, and I was going downhill with what had happened to me as a youth. Would you have been able to help me in that? Would I have been a potential client for you if I called and said, hey, wait, I was sexually abused as a child. I need help. Would you be able to do something with that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's only because of those receptors in the neuro side of that?
Yes. And someone doesn't have to have a referral to be able to come here. Obviously, that would be addressed with the behavioral health counselors and the proper person within the clinic. And they make a treatment plan for that person. But primarily, I believe that we deal with addiction, but many, many times, a lot of those things go hand in hand.
Yeah,
they do.
Do you often find, and we're down about 3 minutes, do you often find that addiction comes from being, so if you negate that, so there's a process in the intake, or there's a process through the counseling?
Yes.
That you actually, do you have a checklist that they answer on you just get to know them?
They do a detailed 6-level ASAM assessment. That's a very in-depth interview confidentially with the behavioral health counselors and specialists here at the clinic. So yes, they do go through that process with them.
How many people do you treat at one time? I mean, how many people are in your program per se right now?
Well, we've lessened the amount because of COVID. So we're keeping socially distanced from one another. Everyone has a private room. So we can treat up to 6-8 people at a time, and they each have their own spaces.
Okay, fantastic. If somebody in the closing minutes, if somebody wants to get in touch with you right now, they're listening to the program or maybe a repeat of it next week on a podcast somewhere, and they say, hey, wait, these people, I need help with them. They can help me. How would they reach out to you? What's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
They can email us. I feel the best is just a good old-fashioned phone call. They can call our number 618-519-9444. And just let us know. There's someone there that generally gets back with them within 2 hours. So if like my situation was whenever I talked to James, I think if James can verify this, we talked late one Sunday evening. And I think he was actually surprised that he got anyone on the phone. And we just had a great conversation, and he was very open and honest in that first call. which leads him to where he is now.
Fantastic. Yep. Fantastic. 618-519-9444. 24/7.
Yes.
From anywhere in the country. How yes. about in the world?
We talked.
Okay, because you're going to get a call from New Zealand, because we have a huge listening off audience in New Zealand. I can't tell you how happy I am to have you, Kelly, and Seth and James, to be with the program tonight, and the work that you're doing. May God bless you and Godspeed everything you're doing, and the impact that you're making on so many people's lives. Thank you.
Thank
you for getting this information out to more people to help them, to let them know that there are options.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, by what I'm seeing on my texts and my emails, it just, as far as I can see down, a lot of people are reaching out, and I'll find out if there's anything that I need to just refer them straight to you. I'll send them your way. But thank you so much for your time. James, I'll see you and your lovely bride next Sunday night at 8 p.m. Yeah. Central Time here. Thank you all for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
We like to end every show, not only with what Kelly and Seth and James has offered to you tonight, but I always like to personally let you know, no matter what, and lean in if you have to, no matter what you're going through right now, there's hope for you. There's always hope for you. Don't be afraid to reach out for it. Don't be afraid to ask for it. And you've seen it in James' life. It changed his life. So always remember, there's hope. Thank you for joining us tonight for an edition of Breaking the Silence. Next week, we'll have James and Lisa Brown right here, and we will continue this conversation. God bless you. Have an awesome week.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1. For the next episode of Breaking the Silence.